Laboring for two misguided physicians. On Friday, August 23rd, just before she went over to Healdsburg for the three-week Teachers Institute, there had rolled upon her heart a great longing to help the doctors S, connected with the St. Helena Sanitarium. In vision she had been shown the peril of their course, one marked with indifference toward Bible study and an unusual interest in amusements. Worldly aspirations and a determination to rule seemed to mark their characters. Before reaching America on her return from Australia, she was given instruction regarding conditions at the St. Helena Sanitarium. Now, among other pressing tasks, she must deal faithfully with these two leading workers. This case, in which several visions were involved and a number of most earnest testimonies written, extended over a period of months before the final breakthrough. It illustrates an important phase of her work. Dr. S., 36 years of age, was the medical superintendent and had been for most of the 10 years since he came to the institution. Mrs. S., also a physician, stood close by his side. The 7-page letter Ellen White addressed to Mrs. S. on that Friday, August 23rd, opened with the words, "My dear sister, I have been alarmed for you, because you are not a practical Christian. Your salvation depends upon a change, not a spasmodic change, but an entire, lasting change of heart. You cannot be a child of God unless this change takes place." This letter was to be followed by others to the husband and wife Dr. Teen, 13 in all, in 8 weeks. The opening lines of these communications, ranging from 2 to 16 pages each, provide a glimpse of the concern the messenger of the Lord felt for those whose cases had been revealed to her and the labor on her part in bearing testimony to them. On August 24th, she wrote again, "My dear sister, the past night has been one of labor, and it concerned you. I have words to speak to you." There were 8 pages. On August 26th she wrote, "My dear sister, I am up at 1 o'clock, my soul filled with sorrow on your account." Another written the same day to Dr. S., her husband, filled 6 pages. This letter referred to perils in their medical work. It was the introduction to further counsel she would give concerning their use of hypnosis in their practice. In this letter she wrote, "The physician is never to lead his patients to fix their attention on him. He is to teach them to grasp with a trembling hand of faith the outstretched hand of the Savior. Then the mind will be illuminated with the light radiating from the light of the world. The mind cure must be free from all human enchantment. It must not grovel to humanity but soar aloft to the spiritual, taking hold of the eternal." 2 weeks later, on Thursday, September 12th, she wrote from the Healdsburg Institute, "Dear brother, I have said many things to you by letter, but I am so weighed down in your case that I must continue to write to you." In the 15 pages of this letter, Ellen White entered more deeply into what she termed a species of mind cure. Speaking of the vision that formed the basis of this letter, she declared, "In tones of earnest warning the words were spoken, 'Beware, beware where your feet are placed and your mind is carried. God has not appointed you this work. The theory of mind controlling mind is originated by Satan to introduce himself as the chief worker, to put human philosophy where divine philosophy should be. No man or woman should exercise his or her will to control the senses or reason of another, so that the mind of the person is rendered passively subject to the will of the one who is exercising the control. This science may appear to be something beautiful, but it is a science which you are in no case to handle. If you do handle it, it will finally handle you." In another communication to these same physicians, Ellen White wrote, "In dealing with the science of mind cure, you have been eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God has forbidden you to touch. It is now high time for you to begin to look to Jesus, and by beholding his character become changed into the divine likeness. Cut away from yourselves everything that savors of hypnotism, the science by which satanic agencies work." As an alternative, she counseled these physicians, "The only safe and true mind cure covers much. The physician must educate the people to look from the human to the divine. He who has made man's mind knows precisely what the mind needs. Then there were letters of response, one from each of the husband-wife physician team. This brought great relief to Ellen White, and it was with joy that she wrote, "Your letters have been received and carefully read. I will now write a few lines in reply. I thank you for writing, for your letters have taken a heavy weight off my heart. I greatly desire that you shall both so well and so do that God will be honored and glorified by your service in the sanitarium. I know that changes must be made, and we shall help you in every way possible. I felt like weeping when I read Sister S's letter. I thank the Lord, my sister, that you are resolved to open your heart to the Savior. I would not speak one word to discourage you. I will try to help you in every way that I can. But as is true so many times, the battle was only partly won. Steps had been taken in the right direction, but it was revealed to Ellen White in vision that there was a great deal yet to be accomplished. She continued to write to these workers until 13 letters had been sent. Through the winter she continued to carry the burden of this couple on her heart. One letter was written December 3, 1901. Then in February, 1902, there was another. It began, "My dear sister, do you know that you are spending your life for naught? If converted to the truth, you could be a help to your husband. You are not building on the rock of ages, but are laying your foundation on the sand, and when the tempest beats on the house you are building, it will surely be swept away." It was this letter that brought the response for which Ellen White was hoping and praying. On March 2nd, Sister S sat down and penned these words to Ellen White. "Dear Sister White, I feel that some word of explanation and gratitude is due you from me, after your many messages of warning and reproof, especially those received yesterday morning. I wish I had language to express to you just how I have felt over these things. I have not thought myself indifferent to your words, only puzzled and unable to apply all of them to my case. It may be that, as you say, it has simply been that I have stubbornly turned from what might have proved life and salvation. I will not take your time to tell you of what parts of your messages I could not understand. I feel sure now that, had I accepted and lived up to what I could understand, in time I should have been enabled to understand all. I am by no means blind to certain of my faults, though entirely incapable, no doubt, of seeing them in their true light. For some weeks I have been studying and praying that God would reveal Himself to me and enable me to see my true needs. And I really felt glad when your letters came yesterday. It seemed to me that they had come in direct answer to prayer, feeble though it was. I am fully determined now, by earnest prayer and studying God's Word, to learn what is duty, and to perform it. I realize that this will be no easy task, and that only by constant vigilance shall I be enabled to have God's blessing dwelling in the heart. But I am fully determined in purpose, and I am glad that the struggle will be only one day at a time. I am greatly grieved as I look back over my worse than misspent life. I can see, in some measure at least, how I have been to blame for many of the failures in our work at St. Helena. I believe we have needed just the experience through which we have passed, to teach us our true condition. I am only too grateful that even through these troubled experiences, God has brought us to as much of a knowledge of our own need as we possess. I am anxious to do or to be anything that the Lord will have me, so that I may have a close and abiding connection with Him. I have at times known His blessing, but never for long. Yesterday I spent the most of the day in seeking God, and He specially blessed me. For all this I am truly thankful. It is wonderful how ready He is to bless me after all my perversity. So far as I know, we have no reservations, but are willing to do whatever is best and pleasing to God. Very gratefully, Dr. S. What rejoicing Sister S's letter brought to Ellen White, and she could not refrain from an early reply. Dear Sister S, I have just read your letter. I need not say that I am very glad that you are making use of your will to break the power of Satan, that you may be his slave no longer. I thank the Lord for this movement in the right direction. I shall pray for you and unite with you in drawing near to Christ Jesus. In the 5 pages of this letter, Ellen White discussed her Lord, his cross and what it means to the human family, and the importance of the study of the Word of God in the development of Christian life. And then she wrote, "In your character building, you must work in union with your Heavenly Father, your will conform to His will. We are to work in union with Him who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Then why should we doubt Him? Do not stop, my sister, with a work half done. Do not stop before receiving a new and sanctified nature, in which will appear the fruits of righteousness. Those who stop short of this are Christians only in name. Make diligent work for eternity. Take hold with your husband, walking and working in all humility, and you shall receive grace for grace." A few weeks later, the husband wrote to Ellen White in appreciation and reported that his wife had been rebaptized. This is the picture of Ellen White's care for individual cases. However, she was eager to get on with the book work that awaited her attention. She now had a good staff. Sarah McIntyre was her personal secretary, nurse, and traveling companion, Marion Davis, Clarence Chrysler, Sarah Peck, and Maggie Hare composed her secretarial force, Mrs. M.J. Nelson was cook, Iram James managed the farm, Mrs. N.H. Drouillard was her accountant, and Mr. Drouillard the builder. W.C. White gave general supervision and served Ellen White in the general conference in varied capacities. The new 8-room office was now in use. On October 26, Ellen White wrote, "I shall now remain at home for a time, to do the work on my books which has been so long neglected." Her hope would not be realized. Within 2 weeks, she was on the train to New York City to meet a critical situation there.